call Anthony Rusin when I was in high school. He transferred in from a high school in California. I was a sophomore at Francis Howell North High School. Go Knights! He was a god. He was beautiful, and I loved him. He didn't know who I was. He started dating my friend Christina Vogel. I'd known her a long time, but we had kind of had a falling out, so she wasn't talking to me. So I really didn't get to know Chris. I just got to see him from a distance and love him. Fortunately for me, the following year, Christina's parents didn't feel that public school was giving their daughter quite the education she deserved, so they sent her back to St. Mary's. Go God. The following year, Chris and I started dating. He was, like I said, a god. He could sing. He formed a boy band, and they would do a cappella renditions of Boys to Men songs. That was pretty hot. After about 4 months of dating, which is like 14 years in teenage talk, we felt that we were ready to go all the way. He loved me and I loved him, and this was the man I was going to marry, and so why not? Should we share this joyous moment of love? His parents were out of town one weekend, and we made up some really stupid lie about putt-putt golf and going to a movie to my parents, and then I'd be back later. That's hot. I'm going to go get laid, and I'll be back later. We were prepared, though. We had condoms, we had candles, we had soft Boys to Men ballads playing. We really did. Everything was going really well. Clothes came off. Joyous love was about to start, and suddenly things went south, if you know what I mean. And then they were back, and then they weren't, and then they were back, and then we ran out of condoms. And so we were sitting there confused and saddened about this whole horrible moment that was our first time, thinking this is not what was on HBO. This wasn't fair. We were very sad and confused by the whole situation, so we were comforting each other and hugging one another, and then he was back. And we didn't have any condoms, and so we got really caught up in this very big whirlwind of comforting one another, and, well, he sort of pulled out in time. Yeah, I know. About a month and a half later, it was Thanksgiving. I was very excited because Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. My parents and family were in the kitchen cooking and drinking, mostly drinking because I'm from Missouri. Boxed wine. I was in the bathroom vomiting profusely. I hadn't really been feeling well, and I thought I had caught just like a winter bug. And then suddenly the calendar in my head popped in and it started swirling backwards. And then apparently I became a mathematician because I started doing trig problems and algebra problems and geometry problems. And no matter what problem I did, I still came to the same conclusion that I still hadn't had my period. Crap. Suddenly I hear my father go, "God damn it, Sandy, you didn't get any yams." I poked my head out and I volunteered to run to the store because some schmuck is working 24 hours at Deerberg's on Thanksgiving morning. And I raced as fast as I could, panicked, to all hell high earth. And I ran into that store and I said, "Priority one, yams. Priority two, pregnancy test." I hurriedly checked out and I ran to the closest bathroom right outside of Deerberg's that I could. And it was cold and it was freezing. And with one hand full of yams and the other one trying to inch down my jeans and hover over the toilet because I would be goddamned if I was going to sit on a public restroom while peeing on a pregnancy test. And so I point shot laid flat as the directions had specifically stated. Leaning up against a bathroom stall, holding a bag of yams, and I casually glanced down at said test, and I saw one pink line, holy shit. I picked up the box because I really hadn't thoroughly read the directions at the time. Whew! One line was just the test box. It just meant that the test was working, as if we needed to know this. And I set it back down calmly, and it was like, two pink lines, but I got to wear back two pink lines, where it ruins my life. And I looked down, Jesus, there were two pink lines. So I'm standing there, leaning up against a bathroom stall, bag of yams, pants pulled down. I'm a freaking after school special. And Nancy McKeon was gonna play me. I panicked, I didn't know what to do. I ran home, a few days went by, my best friend Mo was just back from Thanksgiving. I didn't dare tell Chris at this point. Chris was never going to be told about this until I absolutely was showing or giving birth. I panicked. Mo was home 2 days later. I raced to her job. She worked at the local Pizza Hut. I'm going to put the yams down now. She worked at the local Pizza Hut, so I ran her and I told her. I ran into the Pizza Hut and she's standing on the other side of the buffet tending the slices. And I'm sitting there and I was like, Mo, I'm pregnant. And she looked at me and said, holy fuck! She wasn't as religious as I was. She said, don't worry, I'm gonna get you through this. We're gonna figure this out. The next few weeks were a complete blur. I was so sad, I was so depressed, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was so panicked, but there was Mo. We're good, we're gonna fix this. I'm going to figure a way to get us out of this, meaning you. And then it sort of took care of itself. This gross negligence of my teenage body that had become such the big wrong, my body took that wrong and actually, in my brain, made it a right. I had a miscarriage at 17. And now you're quiet. It's a deep moment here, everybody take a breath. I was so elated. I think I prayed to every religion at that point. Allah was my new best friend. I was free. Later on, after I had recanted the story to a few of my girlfriends when they were drunk, I told them that I had had a miscarriage. I'm like, aren't you sad? Weren't you sad? Hell no, I wasn't sad. I was elated. I was happy. You never saw a happier 17-year-old in your entire life. Now you laugh, and I know this is kind of a funny story, yams included, but there was a huge lesson in my life that I learned that I'm kind of sharing with you guys now. I no longer believed I was invincible from that day on. I truly believed that every action had a consequence, and this was a very serious consequence that I had skirted. Thank God. Christopher broke up with me a few weeks after that, never knowing what had happened. Later on, he had left to go back to his performing night high school to finish college with them, and not knowing anything that had happened. I did write him a letter telling him of all the yam story and the peeing and the depression, and I was waiting for this letter, this something, this anything from the man who had loved me for 4 whole months to come back and save me, and it never came. Until almost 2 years later, Chris and I ran into each other again. We decided to go to the same college, fun for me. And I ran into him. We tried to have 2 really uncomfortable conversations about what happened because he had gotten the letter, he later told me, and it never really worked out. We tried to be adults about it and talk about our feelings and have a moment, but it just never came. So we kind of just let it go. And we continued to date, actually, through college for a couple of years, oddly enough. I loved him. He was the man I was going to marry. And then suddenly, right close to that Thanksgiving when I was in college, Chris called me and he broke up with me again. Shit. Seriously? I'm like, how could you do this to me? He gave me no warning, he gave me no answer, and he broke up with me again. How many times do you have to kick the horse when it's down? Apparently it was 2. And I did what any college girl was gonna do. I took my fake ID and we went out to the bar on that Thanksgiving Eve. We were gonna see if they worked. They did. I woke up that Thanksgiving morning in a fog. I was hurriedly packing, trying to get my parents, because they lived only 20 minutes away from my college. And, you know, while Chris had broken up with me, I had tried to do everything I could to get him to pay attention to me. I tried to flirt with any jock I could muster at a liberal arts college. That's not easy to find a jock at a liberal arts college. Soccer players kind of qualified. Nothing was working. Nothing I did would get him to pay attention to me. So on this Thanksgiving morning, I was rushing home to get the free food for my parents and do 3 loads of laundry so I could drink beer later that evening. I get a call from Chris. Out of the blue. It's his specialty. And he says hi, and I say hey. He said, I got the call from last night from you. What call, I say? He said, well, you called me from the bar. Shit. I couldn't remember a word that I had said to him, so I just played it off like, hey, I was so drunk. Oh my God, so funny. And he was like, do you remember what you asked me? And I was like, of course I don't. Of course I don't. And he said, well, you talked about the rumors. And I was like, oh God, not the rumors. The rumors, the rumors. I said, I defended you, Christopher. I will let you know, okay? As much as I have heard these rumors in campus, I have defended you. I defended you vigorously to this guy in my English class. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe any of the rumors that were going on around about him. It was a very small college, so word traveled fast if anything happened. He sat there and he told me he wouldn't speak. And I said, Christopher, you have to believe me. You have to believe. I swear to you, I defended you. And I said, I know it's not true. I know nothing they say about you is true. And then suddenly, almost in a whisper, he says, Michelle, it's true. And I couldn't believe it. I almost threw up where I stood. He told me he was gay. Thank you.